For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Father, we are so grateful to you for tonight. We ask that you speak to us. Let there be clarity with your word this evening. Let hearts be open. Let my heart be open. Let all our hearts be open. We will not fight your word. In Jesus' name, we pull down every stronghold of the enemy. Thoughts that seem not to change. Thinking patterns that seem not to be changed. We pull it down in Jesus' name. Let your word have its free course. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please be seated. When the AC is working, it's nicer, isn't it? Amen. So you're all welcome to. So tonight, just briefly, I want to share with you something that I think I shared not too long ago, but I just feel led to share the same thing again because we are still in the season of Father's Day, isn't it? Or Father's Week. Amen. So just to remind you a little bit about the signs of a true son. The signs of a true son or daughter. When I say son, I mean daughter as well. So not just boys or men or brothers, but also sisters and girls and everyone else. So there are signs that show that you are a true son. Amen. You know, you can have a size of a regular car, but it's just a toy, isn't it? You can put in a garage, that does not make it a car. There are certain clear features that makes a car a car. One of it is it has to move. You can start the engine, and then it moves, isn't it? You put fuel in the right compartment, and then it begins to move. So sonship or sonship is also similar. You cannot just be a son or call yourself a son. You cannot just be a daughter or call yourself a daughter without certain traits or characteristics. Do you see? Yeah. Have you noticed that in the world, when there's any ambiguity about whether somebody belongs to, or somebody's a child or somebody, they will run some test to prove that, hey, this is really your daughter or your son, isn't it? Yes. So there are some traits that makes a person a son or a daughter, or that links a person to another person in that father-son, father-daughter relationship. Amazingly, people just assume that because you've been around for a long time makes you a son or a daughter. Or maybe because someone laughs with you or relates to you in a particular way, so you are a son or a daughter. It's not necessarily. So, the last time I shared this with you, I told you that there are five types of people in the church, isn't it? They are very nice people. They are just nice. We call them VNPs, okay? Then they're also very encouraging people. We call them VEPs. They are very encouraging. I mean, when you meet them, they encourage you. Yeah, there are people in the church who encourage. Yeah. It's also a type of a person in the church. When you see them or you meet them or interact with them, it makes you want to do more of the work. Just naturally encouraging. Then we also have very important people in the church. Yeah, VIPs. They're also important because they also run certain things. Do you get it? Yeah, I mean, it's the truth. Let's accept the truth. There are some people, if they are not in the church, or they miss church, or they schedule to come and they don't come, it's going to be a problem. Isn't it? So they are also VIPs. And they are also very significant people. So they are not VIPs, but they are significant. You cannot ignore them. Then they are also very dangerous people. VDPs. Amen. Now, this book, what is it again? I use it on Sunday. Unless somebody's taking my book. Who took my book? Yeah, there you go. Those who are dangerous sons, okay? It used to be called, this book, used to be called Fathers and Loyalty. Yeah, it was just renamed and reprinted, but same thing. In fact, I'm preaching from, this is my old iPad, so I'm preaching from the other book, Fathers and Loyalty, by the same book. And I think even the chapters, probably even, yeah, the chapters are the same. What I'm sharing is from chapter 6 of that old version and still chapter 6 of this book. So what makes a person a son? What makes a person a daughter? Quickly, number one, a son or a daughter resembles his father. Okay? So there has to be some resemblance. Isn't it? Yes. There has to be some resemblance. When a couple gives birth to a child, you see that a lot of times there's argument back and forth between father and son. This child looks like me. This child. And the amazing thing is that the children change. They may look like a mother in the beginning. Then very soon they start looking like a father. You know, Pastor Kobe and Sister Shadia, they have two kids. One looks like the father and one looks like the mother. It's 1-1. This evening I was talking to Pastor Samuel and I said to him that it looks like this your new son, because now he has a baby. This your new son really looks like the mother, the nose and everything. Then he said, oh, he can't see that. But I said, my friend, you are just being jealous. You don't want to accept it because the boy looks like your wife. And it may change. Yeah. In fact, if you have a baby and the baby looks like one of you, I mean, just be humble and pray that it stays like that. Because it can easily switch. And by a couple of months, the baby will now start looking like the other one that you were laughing at. So when you are a son, okay, there has to be some resemblance. I can't say Bishop Doug is my father and there's no reason. There has to be. I mean, we not necessarily look exactly the same, but there has to be. When you are with me, there must be some things that you see about me that should make you see that I'm from him. Yeah, if anything, at even the way the things I share. Because I share from the books. This is everything I share most of the time, 90% from books. It may be flavored in another way by other impartations, but it's primarily from the books. So a son looks like a father. A daughter looks like a father. So if you call yourself a son or a daughter in this house, and there's absolutely no resemblance whatsoever, you know, it's a problem. It's a problem. You know, when I was coming, I saw David and I said, little David. I said, you like that name? He said, just call me a son. I was very blessed. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. This is by the time I realized he's come to sit in front of me. Even when I'm ready to teach and come and pray, by the time you, when I'm about to even go, then he'll come and sit. I said, David, is there a problem? He said, no, I just want to be here. You see, and it feels special. So when you are a son or a daughter, there must be at least some resemblance. Something must click that we can point to, one or two or three or four things that we can point to and say, this is a son or this is a daughter. John 14 and verse 9. John 14 and verse 9. You see, and a lot of these principles, they are not just things that we derive, just from outer space. They are biblical principles that you can see. If you look at the relationship that Jesus had with his Father God, you see a lot of these lessons. So in John 14, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, so it's Jesus speaking, isn't it? Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? So he's talking to Philip. Then look at what he said. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So Jesus here was laying claim that, look, if you see me, I'm a son. If you see me, you have seen the Father. Yeah. Many years ago, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin, and he made a comment. Okay, he made a comment. And he was telling a story, actually, not a comment, just a story. And he said in one of his big conventions, somebody wanted to see him. And so Kenneth Hagin Jr., who is now the head of Rema, after his father went home to be with the Lord, said to the person who was looking for the father that, you know what? Whatever, or first of all, what do you want from him? So I just want to give him a gift. I want to give him something. They said, oh, no problem. I will take the gift and I will give it to him for you. Give me all your particulars and he will know exactly where this is coming from. The man said, no. He said, unless you show me Kenneth Hagin himself, I'm not giving this thing to Kenneth Hagin Jr. And Kenneth Hagin Jr. said, okay, then bye-bye. Yeah, bye-bye. Because if he had given it to Kenneth Hagin Jr., Kenneth Hagin would have had it. Same thing. Bishop did the same thing. He wanted to give a gift to Kenneth. He talks about it. Wanted to give a gift to Kenneth Hagin, and it was like there was no way of seeing Kenneth Hagin. So he gave it to his son. Then Bishop said, surprisingly, he was just there. Kenneth Hagin just came out and said, who was it who gave me that gift? They said, it's that gentleman. Then he went to shake Bishop's hand. You see? So it is a deep relationship. It must be that when you meet the son, you have met the father. See? That is how I think, and that is how I operate. In fact, when I'm doing things in the church, I always think that what would Apostle do? Do you see? What would Apostle do? What would Bishop do? And I think along those lines. Very recently, I was talking to someone, and I said, I know that this is what Apostle Joel would do. If I called him now, this is what he would do. Because that is the way Bishop works. About this particular situation, this is what will be done. This will be. So there's some resemblance. Do you get it? Yeah. If you are a child of a parent, there must be some genetic, you know, even if how would I even put it? Maybe an enhancement, or maybe a little different. It's built on even the similarities. You see, if you look at all of Bishop's, you know, sons, especially those in full time who are bishops, and you see that someone like Prophet Kakra, he's taking strongly the prophetic part, and that is very strong on him, isn't it? Yeah. If you take someone like Apostle Joel, you see that the teaching, I mean, if Apostle John stands and he teaches now, you'll be amazed, you'll be wondering that, are you reading the same Bible? A simple Bible, simple. Recently, I was talking just a week or two ago, and he was sharing with me a scripture, you know, a scripture that explains divorce. I said, wow, in the New Testament, I've read and gone over this scripture so many times, I have never seen that scripture. Do you get it? So it's always a baseline similarity, even if there's a little change. Amen. So we pastors, Pastor Kobe, Mr. Morris, we must be like our father. And all the church members, we must be like our father. Yeah. One of the things about him, as if you want to listen to him, you see that he's strong on the word. Yeah. Very strong on the word. Everything is scripture. The church is scripturally based. I mean, there's no gimmicks. Bear that resemblance of also becoming strong in the word. Yeah. Church is not a joke. Do you get me? It's not. We don't come here to be tickled. You say, you are not here for me to tickle you and make you. No. That's not why you are here. It's a very serious thing. We are building things that are stable and solid. Yeah. You must be able to exist, even if you are the only human being on the North Pole with the Bible. You must be able to exist. You see, and that is how we are being built, based on the word. You are taught the word. You are encouraged by the word to do things that the word says. Hallelujah. I think Lady Pastor posted something on the Shepherd's page platform recently, right? If I'm correct. Something about, he's a Nigerian pastor. Nigerian pastors are very powerful. And he was preaching. And he was explaining why there's so much suicide and depression. I mean, depression and suicide are related. People get depressed and they kill themselves. Why there is so much suicide in the church. And he was explaining. I think it's there. You can look for it. The shepherd. And maybe spread it to the other platform. Somebody should forward it to all the Philip platforms. And he was explaining, and one of the reasons he gave was that the church now is teaching so much of materialism. Yeah, money, cars, houses, prosperity. You see, and we are more or less bringing the horse before the cart. If you bring the cart behind the horse, you see that as you move, these things will follow you. Let me take a little side journey. Somebody made a comment somewhere that this church is a poor church, we're struggling. I laughed. Because, what do you say? They have no idea. You don't know the church you are in. Because if you know this church, this is a very rich church. Yeah, but not loud. Yeah. Even individuals, people have money. People are rich. And they are going to be richer. Yeah. Do you see? But we don't make noise. We don't drive flashy cars. We don't live in useless homes with 8 bedrooms and 20 bathrooms and things like that. Don't use that to judge us. Yeah. Just go to Mampong in Accra. Huh? Yeah, just go to the Anakazo campus. You'll be amazed at the buildings and the structures and debt-free. That place must be billions of dollars. Yeah. Recently, where someone, I think it was Bishop Saki, not too long ago, was talking about something. And he said, hey, for security reasons, he can't even talk about Bishop, the blessings upon his life. He said, one day somebody just called, said, Bishop, I want you. He sent a private jet. Okay? And he said they picked Bishop, took him just for a couple of hours and brought him back. Flew him back to Accra. And he said, if he mentions the honorarium the guy gave Bishop for just coming. Hey! It's more than price of a house. And yet you see this man walking around with one pair of shoes, T-shirt. Don't underestimate him. Oh. Don't look at that and say, so let me go back to myself. So this powerful pastor, I think he's a very good pastor. He was saying that there's, are you listening? Yes. Time is up already. The rate of suicide and all that depression in the church is based on what the church is teaching. You see, so because when you come to church, nobody is teaching anything other than you must prosper. You must have houses. It's good. We must have houses. I'm not saying we should not have houses. It's good to have. Tell your neighbor, it's good to have houses. Yeah, and not one or two, but many houses. Yeah, and you will have many houses. I said you will have many houses. David, I said you will have many houses. You'll be one of the young people with many houses in this church. Justin, you will have houses. You don't seem to believe it. You will have houses. That's not what we are talking about. We are talking about the pathway to houses. You see, you don't even have to talk about houses. You don't even have to talk so much about money and finances. Because the principle is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all other things will be added. Yeah, that's why when we come, we talk as cell group. Yeah, we preach about loyalty, disloyalty, to make you solid. So you can stay and gain more. Because without loyalty and disloyalty, you also be upset every now and then, be taking excursions in and out. And you'll be missing the blessing. Yeah, you're right, Esther. The blessings will just be flying over your head. You won't catch any. Yeah. We preach about cell groups, prayer, evangelism. Ah, what kind of a church is this? This is the true church. You see? And so this is why he said in short. So because of the way things are taught in the church, now people's judgment in terms of how well you are doing is so materialistic. You see, so your judgment on how well you are doing is, how many cars do I have? How many houses do I have? How much money do I have in my bank account? So that is bound to fail. Because when your bank account is low, it's failure. When you don't have a car, it's failure. When you don't have certain materialistic things, it's failure. So people end up being depressed. And then they start killing themselves because they are not taught right. But when you are rather taught right, that look, it's evangelism, it's prayer, it's cell groups, it's the word, it's soaking in tapes, it's watching videos, it's listening to teachings, it's coming to church 2-3 times a week, it's doing things, fasting, praying, then your life rather is built. And then at the end of the day, you rather have things that you otherwise would have chased for. You'll be chasing aimlessly. Are you getting it? So ladies and gentlemen, let's be like our fathers. You understand? Let us be like our fathers and enjoy teaching. Amen. Number two, a son or a daughter is forever. Did you hear that? A son or a daughter is forever. Sons and daughters are forever. They are not temporary. They don't come and go. Yeah. Even when they are upset, they don't come and go. And let me tell you, listen, if you are in this church and you've never been upset by anything, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's normal. Have you not been upset in your family? Stephanie, have you not been upset in your family? David, have you not been upset in your family? Hey, small boy like you, be upset in your family. Who upset you in the family? Your mother or your father? Both. Your mother is sitting behind you. But you stayed. Did you leave home? You're still home. Yeah. One day, one of my aunties almost poked my eye out. I won't forget that. Because I said something which was true anyway. But she was very upset with me. Almost poked my eye out. But today the picture has changed. You see, but I didn't change my name. My last name has always been what it is. I can't leave home. This church, I can't leave. Amen. I told you many, many, many times. One day I told Bishop that I want to leave the church. The only problem is I don't know where to go. I told Bishop, Doug, I want to leave the church, but I just don't know where to go. And you went, you left and then you came back. You didn't have anywhere to say, so he came back. Yeah. Home is always home. Are you understanding? So sons and daughters are forever. When you are a son, you can't leave. When you are a true son, you can't leave. When you are a true daughter, you can't leave. If we see not so, yeah, you can't. Even when things are not working out or things seem to be against you. David, yeah. Your father is upsetting, your mother is upsetting you because you are saying things that you don't agree with and not. You can't go because you are a son. Amen. So what is the scripture for this one. John chapter 8 and verse 35. John 8:35. It says, and the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever. You see, servants go and come. Servants, they go and come. You see, when you have, are you listening? When you have a sonship or daughtership mentality, it's very hard to leave. Yeah. It's very, very hard. You won't easily leave the church. But when you have a servant attitude, you see that small, I'm leaving. Small, I'm leaving. The least thing, I have to go. I'm leaving. I'm annoyed. I'm upset. I'm vexed. I'm irritated. What other words can we use? Huh? You tie your face. David, give me some words. You are angry. Michael. Agitated. Agitated. Wow. You're an American boy. You are disappointed. Yeah. Huh? Devastated. Look at you. You used to say devastated, now devastated. Cynthia, give me a word. Give me a word. Yeah, what? Offended. Wow. I'm wounded. I'm broken. I'm hurt. I'm super vexed. Yeah? And you can't leave. But when you're a servant, next job. You change church like how you change jobs. That's how you change church. Today you are here, tomorrow you are there. You are not a son. You are not a son. In fact, are you listening? The true test, an ultimate test for sonship and daughtership is how you handle crisis. Yes, how you handle crisis. When things are against you, your pastor is not agreeing with you. Yeah, because you want to go here and your pastor says left. You want to still go right and say left, 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 left. Then you're annoyed, then you leave. Without warning. But if you're a servant, you would go. It's a very interesting verse, last verse, 1 John 2:19. Look at it. 1 John 2:19. Look at it. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Hey! So your even leaving and departure is proof that, confirmation that you are really, you didn't belong. Because isn't this what the scripture is? Look at it again. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Wow. You don't have to even explain this scripture. It's self-explanatory, isn't it? So the reason why people leave is because they do not belong. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to stand to our feet and let's pray for 2 minutes. And I want you to pray for yourself and ask God to help you so that you will not depart and be removed easily from your position as a son. Shall we begin to pray? Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Let's pray. Pray that nothing will take you away from the sonship position. and pray that the Lord will help you to be a true son of the house, a true daughter, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your holy name. Father, we bless the Kadi and the. Oh, Father, we pray for your grace. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that you help us, oh, Father, to be true sons of the house, oh, God, not deviating, not departing. Oh, pray that you will not be moved by hurts. Pray that nothing will move you from your position as a son or a daughter in the house and in the church of the Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Masukari and the Beyond, the Badabadaramanda, Masukari Amandola, Masodi and the Beyond. Oh, Father, we pray that you help us, oh Lord Jesus. We pray that you help us. Oh, Father, we pray for the grace, oh God, to be good sons and daughters in your house, oh Father, at all times, that we will not be removed, oh Lord Jesus. Oh, that when the temptation comes to move us away, oh God, we'll be overcomers and we will overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Shall we, please, you may be seated.